This is Reg and ATL Sports Talk with Eugene Morton, coming to you live from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia. And Eugene, we are in exciting times right now. If you like politics and if you hate politics, this is a horrible time right now for you, because it's taken up all the oxygen in the room as of last week. We were talking before the show, and I think it bears mentioning on the show that I had not left my couch between like basically Tuesday and Saturday. I had to go to work Saturday, so that's probably the reason I left it. But between Tuesday and Saturday, I hadn't really left my couch. I was watching these results kind of trickle in. It was like a drop, you know, just drop by drop by drop. And then finally, we got to some resolution here on Saturday. Resolution I'm happy about, but I'm pretty sure not everybody agrees with that. You got a lot of people congratulating the new president-elect, and it makes me wonder, are we done with sports and politics kind of converging the way they have the last 4 years? What are your thoughts on that?
You mean as far as players speaking out?
Yeah, in the strongest sense, because I feel like when situations happen, like whether no matter who the president, look at the Trayvon Martin situation that happened back then, no matter who the president is, with isolated pockets of incidents that happen, you're going to have people speak out, because athletes are human beings. So when humans are speaking out, athletes are going to speak out. Singers are going to speak out. Writers are going to speak out. You know, everybody is, because they're human.
Right.
So I'm not necessarily talking about those type of situations, but it seems like since the last at least couple of years, because of the fights that Trump will pick with the NFL and with the NBA, that there's been a lot of mixing of politics and sports. Do you think that sense of normalcy returns in that capacity now?
Well, here's the thing. You're not going to have a president who's going to be tweeting at 2 in the morning. You're going to you have a grown-up back in the White House. We have a person that's going to focus. I mean, I don't think there was a better person that could have absorbed all this. You never went back. I mean, it was tough. I mean, watching some of those, you know, sometimes you wanted him to go back and say something back to Trump, but he's just such
a professional.
Talking about
LeBron, right?
Well, no, I'm just talking about Biden during the elections. He never went back and forth, and he never got baited into those things. And so you never have to worry about a person like you're not going to see Joe Biden going to go on the campaign trail and going to call LeBron James a name.
It sounds funny even hearing you say it. It sounds hilarious,
right? Wouldn't it be funny if you heard him do that? I mean, it'd be like, you think he lost his mind.
I think those things
are gone. The players will still speak up or something, because something's gonna happen. There's always gonna be things that happens in pockets, and those players are gonna speak out. But here's the thing, the president's gonna speak on those things as well, and he's not gonna call the players bums and he believes that everyone should have a voice, and that's a difference. And that's why this was just such this is like one of the most stressful week that I've ever lived through.
Right. Same.
I mean, but at the end, and I think you said lovely city of Atlanta, you should be calling the lovely blue city of Georgia.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy to see Georgia go to a blue state. It's amazing. And it's a testament to Stacey Abrams, her turnout machine that she had since her 2018 loss. And, it could stay that way for quite some time if people realize they're the majority and start voting. You know, we're in a place where people tend to think things are like 50-50, I think, like, because there's two parties, two major parties. There's more parties, but there's two majors.
Right.
And people tend to think that the country splits 50-50, despite the fact that Republicans don't win popular votes. They're going to win one popular vote in 36 years now, because you got to add this 4 years to the last 32 years that they won. So one popular vote win in 32 years, 2004.
Yeah.
And now that's going to go to one popular vote win in 36 years. It's going to be almost 40 years, and they're going to have one election where human beings voted for them. Only one.
Yeah.
So I think that it's not 50-50, in my opinion, because in my opinion, if it was 50-50, they would have had at least three or four of those, because there's been, how many elections in that time? 8-9 elections. And in that time, you've won once. You've had more people vote for you one time.
One time. Exactly.
If it was like four, then I would say this is a 50-50 situation. But it's once out of nine. So I don't know if it's all the way 50-50, but I do feel like there's going to be a lot of normalcy returning. I think you're right about that. I think it's a situation where there's going to be people not having to discuss politics in every aspect of what they're doing, not having to argue with their family members about ridiculous stuff a person might say. So here's to that, just getting back to some kind of sense of normalcy.
Right. And here's what I want to do. It was like, let's have some debate about policy, not a debate if this, you know, this is the right, this is the right thing to say to somebody. You know, we're not discussing a tweet, you know, that did you see what Donald Trump said? You know, I'd rather let's talk about policy.
Right.
If that's the right thing. And that's the thing I miss. It's like even, you know, we can always go back to Bush and go, okay, he was not a great president, but at least we were arguing about his policies and not what he was saying about people. Why are we calling people? He was never, there was always a difference. And I still remember this to this day when Bush had made his speech when he won, and he realized when he had won the presidency but lost the popular vote. And he asked, just one of those things, it's how a big difference between the Republican Party has changed. And I hope they would look at this speech and go, he said, you know what? I lost the popular vote, and I know I need to reach out and try to bridge that divide. I mean, did he do it over the next 4 years? I mean, that's another debate, but at least he recognized it.
Well, he won it 4 years later, you know, so he did.
Right.
He did something right in there.
Right. It was still right. So when he won it, I mean, when he won against John Kerry, he realized, okay, and that's when Kerry won the popular vote, but he still won the election. And it was like, he still had the frame of mind to recognize that. And that's the thing. We've had adults in this for this whole time. And I'm hoping that, you know, in the next four years, the Republicans find an adult to run, and they find a way to, because that's the problem was when Obama had won and they saw all these young voters starting to vote, and they saw these minority voters coming to vote. It was, they went the opposite direction. They went the way of, nope, let's find Billy Bob Joe in the woods, get them out to vote. We can find those smaller. And, you know, to their credit, it worked.
It worked to a certain degree. But you, those numbers, you're just not, there's just not enough human beings living in these places. You cannot find enough people. The margins you can run up for sure, but you're not going to be able to find enough human beings in these areas.
And so that's right. And so that's that was the smart thing that they did. So Democrats did the same exact thing. Obviously, they weren't going to win in those smaller pockets, but what they did, they chipped away in those numbers.
Right. All you got to do is close those margins and then try to run up the city margins.
And that's right. That's exactly what they did. So they closed those margins, ran the city margins, and then you saw what happened. And here's the thing, too. No one could ever say at this point that your vote does not matter. Because we lived it.
Oh, we lived it. In Georgia. Eugene, our votes actually mattered. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yes. For the first time, you know, in quite some time. And I was voting regardless, you know, whether I felt it did or not. So
right. And I was to the point where I'm going, man, is this even going to work? Does this matter? And I'm so glad
But wouldn't it suck if you got off the train this time? Like, if this was the time that you decided to say, you know what, my vote has never mattered, and this is the one where you decided not to do it. That would suck. At least for me.
Yeah, and like you said, just to piggyback, kudos to Stacey Abrams, person who lost like in 2018, could have like went in the basement, went in hiding, and never came back out. What does she do? Just turn this whole state around.
Right. I mean, she registered 800,000 people. Of course, she went to had a voter registration drive that registered almost 1 million people. That's going to turn states. If you can get those voters. So shout out to them, and I'm hoping that we can get back to some sense of normalcy here. We're going to transition from that to some sports here. Let's get into something that we were discussing last week, and that was Cam. I think I'd sent you a message about Cam's job, in my opinion, being in jeopardy. Feeling like he needed to play better. Now, that was before even I saw the stats that, you know, that we have in front of us today. And those stats look abysmal. I didn't even know this when I sent you that message. It was just eyeball test. It was just, he just did not look like he was playing well, in my opinion. But when you look at his when you look at his season, his best rating was against the Dolphins. Okay, we'll break it down. Against the Dolphins, mm-hmm. his best rating, and it was 100.7. But in that game, his completion was amazing, 78%. It doesn't have attempts here, but 78%, 78.9%, very high. But the yards are 155, very pedestrian, especially in today's NFL.
Right.
Second game, mixed results. Amazing on the completion percentage. In my opinion, you ever completing over 65%, you're doing very well. Even a 60%, I'll take that. 68% completion. This is playing the Seahawks. This is on September 20th. 397 yards. Great. Great. Those first two numbers are great. But then you had one touchdown, one interception. And that's the part where I'm like, I'm just not getting to one complete game where you're just smashing it. 94.6 on the rating. That's serviceable and higher than his average. Now, things start to go off the rails September 27th versus the Raiders. He's 162 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Now, we have a couple weeks missing, and I'm not sure if this is where his COVID weeks, but then it goes to October 18th. It goes from September 27th to October 18th. Yeah, that must have been the COVID weeks because there's no more weeks missing after that. Right. So he had the COVID. He goes out. He comes back October 18th. Versus the Broncos, and he has 157 yards, two interceptions, a rating of 51.6. Then he goes to the 49ers, 98 yards, three interceptions, a rating of 39.7. Then he goes to the Bills, and this is when I sent you the message, 174 yards, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions, 81.1, but it doesn't mention here that fumble that pretty much cost him the game at the end. He has to play better, Eugene. Or he's going to lose his starting job. And he will be relegated to a backup quarterback. And here's the reason I say that is because the gap you get, if you have a gap year in between where you're starting, okay, a year in between, mm-hmm. and then you somehow, maybe through injury, maybe it's an Alex Smith type story, or maybe it's just like you moving teams, kind of like how Cam did. Cam got injured, then he just moved teams. You moving teams, and then you get a fresh start, okay? You have to knock that fresh start out the park, Eugene. You have to knock that fresh start out the park. You have to at least be – like, look at what Bridgewater's doing. Look at what – tell the two quarterbacks here. Bridgewater looks like he hasn't missed a beat. He looks like a serviceable quarterback, you know?
Yeah, but he has his actual receivers. Let me read. Look, this is who he has under his receiving core. Mm-hmm. N'Keal Harry, mm-hmm. Jacoby Myers, Damian Bird. I don't even know who those guys are. Isaiah Ford, Gunnar Olawuskas. Matthew Slater, and then you've had his number one, Julian Edelman, who's out. And that's the thing. I mean,
Julian Edelman hasn't been out all year, though.
He's been out most of the year.
When did he leave?
But I mean, let me pull his stats. But yeah, that's the thing. Last game he played was. He played that San Francisco game.
So he played the October 25th game.
October 20th. Yeah. So he's played Seattle, Las Vegas, the Kansas City game. So he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So again, it's the same thing he had with Brock Brady had. Mm-hmm. He had one receiver to throw to. And they don't even have a starting running back. You know, at least when Brady was there, they had the two headed monsters with White and Sony Michel. Now, Sony Michel's been on the IR for most of the year. So, and here's the thing, too. Here's the thing. We all know what they're doing. We all know what New England's doing. They didn't sign. They're revamping. Mm. They're reloading up. That's why they didn't do anything to address anything in the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, their draft was pedestrian. They didn't draft any of the receivers. There was plenty of receivers to draft in that.
Where were they picking at? I would imagine late. They don't tend to pick early.
They don't pick early, but I mean, there were still some quality receivers that they could have gotten in the first round. There were still some guys out there that you can at least give your quarterback a chance. And again, you could see with the contract, they waited till last minute to sign Cam. It wasn't incentive laden. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it's, and again, when all their defensive guys went out, they didn't go out and make any, make try and sign any guys when all their guys pretty much opted out for, you know, COVID. So it's a revamp year. And, you know, it's Belichick. You know, here's why Belichick's one of the smartest coaches in the NFL. He knows, like, you know what? We're going to revamp, get a top pick, either get a defensive person or, you know, offensive weapon. And he's going to revamp for the next 4 or 5 years. And that's what he's doing. And he's just, that's why he's such, because again, he's getting all those guys back on his defense next year. They just, you know, they just opted out for the season, not opted out their whole career. So then they're going to revamp that defense. And now you're going to go, okay, where are we going from quarterback from here? So again, just because again, there are some good quarterbacks even after, you know, that third, fourth, fifth, sixth quarterback. And there's anybody who can, you know, who's a quarterback master, it's, you know, Belichick. He seems to always find a good quarterback. So that is my in a nutshell what's going to happen. And hopefully Cam will go somewhere where he can actually, you know, have some receivers, because he's one of those guys. He needs at least a one receiver, two receivers to throw to.
If, in my opinion, because I just pulled up just for, well, this is a family program, so I'm just going to say the giggles part. I'm not going to say the first part. I pulled up Gardner Minshew stats because I don't know any players on Jacksonville besides Gardner Minshew. I don't know their receivers. I don't know anybody there. His stats blow Cam's out the water. There should not be this much distance between Gardner Minshew and Cam Newton. Should not be this much distance. The stats aren't even close. His worst game is 173 yards. He's averaging, let me see, his last game he had 173 yards, which is his worst. Two touchdowns, zero interceptions. Game before that, 243 yards. Game before that, 301 yards. Game before that, 351 yards. I don't know Jacksonville people. I don't know. Do people in Jacksonville know these people? Do they go to the games? You were from Florida. Do they go? I don't even know if Jacksonville, people in Jacksonville know who's playing on that team.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you're not playing better, Eugene, in my opinion, you're going to lose your job. And I don't see anything. If I'm Cam's agent, maybe if Cam gets another starting job, let's find his agent. And everybody needs to sign up with that person. Everybody does. Because when you look at there's going to be no reason on paper to pay Cam starting money. There's going to be zero. Now, they're not really paying him starting money right now. And Belichick brought that up. Belichick brought that up. He's paying him $1 million. But that's Cam. Cam betted on himself. This is the problem, the reason why I struggle. Because I struggle with talking about somebody's stats and then the person themselves. You know what I mean? Because I like Cam. So I'm going to be partial to try to find the silver lining for him because I like him. I liked him in Auburn. Despite the fact that he was in my division, I liked watching him play in my division. I rooted for him when he went to New England. I rooted for him. But at some point, you got to complete passes to somebody on that team, because these quarterbacks aren't going to get that. Like, when they come to analyze these quarterbacks and their performances, you're not going to be able to drag the wide receiving core into that office with you. They're going to be looking at your stats. And the stats on paper for Cam right now just do not look good. And here's the hope that he turns it around, because what week are we in right now, Eugene? Are we in week 8? Are we like halfway? About roughly halfway?
Halfway there.
Okay.
About halfway there.
So we know how football and sports are, man. It can be a movie. You know, if Cam turns it around and somehow at least gets to averaging 200 yards, let's at least get to 250.
Mm-hmm.
At least get to that. Get to 200 yards at least, and get to having that touchdown to interception ratio not be upside down. It's 2-7 right now.
Right.
These are abysmal stats for Cam. And I think that the player he is, he should have been able to lift some of these boats. I get what you're saying about the teams having not having a wide receiving core. But to be fair to the Patriots, I can't name the wide receiving core on a lot of teams. I know certain receivers on these teams, but I can't name the cores on these teams, because there aren't – you're not going to get many Tampa Bays, and we'll talk about that in a second.
You're not, but at least you can get him somebody. That's
for sure,
the thing. They haven't had and that's the thing. They've been notorious for never having good receivers.
New England's history. Like, they've never been a superstar team besides Tom Brady.
But they at least had that one or two person. They at least have the Gronk to go with the element. They've had those two pieces, the Moss to go with, you know. They've had those times where they've had their, you know, and you saw last year when, Brady had Antonio Brown for like that one game, and he was so excited. That's why I say he's excited to have him in Tampa Bay, which is just when we talk on that stuff, this is going to be unbelievable for receiving core. So you got to at least give them something. And again, and that's why I'm saying that's where they're revamping. They haven't moved. They didn't do anything in the draft. They didn't in their net. They didn't do anything on the trade deadline. But yeah.
So where do you feel with the receivers they have now, Eugene? Where do you feel like the stats should be? Do you feel like these stats are appropriate for the receivers they have?
I think it's a mix. I mean, yes, I think there are some times that he needs to do more. And you know, and I think maybe he's not 100% healthy. Maybe, but I mean, it looks healthy to me. Maybe he just has to be more and just run it more. You know what I'm saying? Just go, you know, hey, tuck and run more than he's accustomed to. And just like you said, put more on his shoulders. Because I think that's what he did. That's what I remember him doing more on the Miami game. Again, I have not watched a lot of games after that, but maybe that's what he needs to start doing more of anyway, is just tucking the ball and running, especially if they're not going to give him receivers. And especially if you're going to be a free agent at the end of the year, you know, look out for yourself at this point, because this franchise isn't looking out for you. You know, they're not giving you any weapons. So,
well, I think that Cam had to know what he was dealing with before he signed that contract. You knew what that team was like. And when you signed the contract, you had to feel that you were going to still be able to have some modicum of success with this receiving core.
Give you a thought. But I don't know. Maybe he looked at the Belichick and, you know, but
for sure. And that's something to look at. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Just the coach alone.
Yeah.
It's something to sign with the team for. So, and also here's the hoping that, like I said, it can be turned around, but if he doesn't, then I will be back on him again, because I gotta be fair. I really like the guy. I really hope that he does. I hope that he rattles off 8 wins and, they look good, but it's just hard to see where this is going to come from. Given the first 8 games performance, he's got to turn it around almost like a complete 180. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. Now on to the Falcons. One of the biggest questions that Falcons fans are having, because I don't know if any teams have these questions out in front. You know, executives, I'm pretty sure, have the questions, but as far as the players themselves. And that question is whether to tank or not. That's the question. Now, I feel like a lot of players, if you're a competitor, it's going to be very hard for you to do this, because you're a competitor. You don't want to lose games. Who wants to lose anything? And you don't want to go out with, from a player standpoint, so just so the fans can get this perspective, from a player standpoint, they could go out and lose these games, but that's not advantageous for them. That's not advantageous for their contract situation. They might not even be on that new team that gets that new player. So it's not advantageous for them to tank ever for the actual player. Not unless you're that player who just know you have it made. Like if you're a quarterback on a team that you know they're not going to move you, okay, whatever. You got it made. But if the other guys, if this team loses, it's a better chance they'll be gone than they'll be there for a lot of them. So they have no interest in racking up losses and then having to negotiate new contracts with other teams in other areas and stuff like that. But for the fans, we know that if you continue to win games and you end up with a middle-of-the-road record, you're going to be ended up with a middle-of-the-road draft pick. And that's going to get us absolutely nowhere. It's going to get us back to where we started. So when it comes to this conversation, where do you stand on it? Tank or not to tank? What's your perspective?
I say tank all the way. I'm actually looking at a website called Tankathon. And it has us right now. We're currently picking 6, and that's not going
to
help us out.
We got to work. We got to get that up to the top 2, man. Let's try to work. Let's work into the top 2, so we can have our. I'll take Fields if we don't get Lawrence. I will take Fields, but I just feel like Lawrence is a better player. I feel like Lawrence is just to me, it's like the real deal. Now they got another true freshman playing behind him. I think he's a true freshman in Clemson that's starting now. But it's not like that's happening in the next year or so. So we got to see how that quarterback develops. But it looks like right now to be a two-man race between Lawrence and Fields from what it looks like now. And you know what's funny about that is when you go back and look at some of these drafts, Eugene, they tend to go that way, right? They tend to go the way of looking at one or two quarterbacks. But let's not forget that the Russell Wilsons and the Lamar Jacksons of the world did happen. And a lot of times they weren't the quarterbacks being talked about in these drafts.
Right. You know, like I said, there are some ones after after those two, there are some ones. There are some good quarterbacks. But again, it's like, but I just want, you know, for one time, I want to eat my cake before I eat my dinner. You know what? I want the cake before I eat. I don't want to eat my dinner first. I want the cake now. And that's what I'm saying. Let's just tank this season. Because right now, it's between, because the teams ahead of us don't need, there's like three teams ahead of us that don't need quarterbacks. Like Dallas, Houston, you know, don't need it. Jacksonville, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to stick with Gardner. You know, they're like 1-6. So again, he's putting in good numbers, but are they looking for a better quarterback? You know, so then you have the two New York teams. Are the Jets going to stay on Darnold, or are the Giants going to stick on Danny? So those are two questions.
Again, Giants aren't sticking on Danny. I don't think that's happening. They got to move off that pick, and that's a disaster. They took him super early. That's a disaster. He's not passing the eyeball test. He hasn't passed the eyeball test since his first season. Was his first season last season? Was that, or was it the season before? Was it last season? I think it was last season. Might have been his first season. But he's not passing the eyeball test even there. Like, he's a turnover machine. He seems to turn it over once or twice a game. He's going to give you an opportunity if you're the defense. You're going to get an opportunity if you're playing the Giants. I see Arizona moving off Josh Rosen here. The precedent has been set for teams to take a quarterback very early and then take another one early in the next year if they find a better option. So the precedent's already been set. Before that Arizona example, I didn't know one in recent memory where they drafted a quarterback and then drafted another one immediately, or, you know, so soon after drafting the one that you did. They moved off Josh Rosen very fast. I don't even know where he's playing now. But they moved off the guy very fast.
I thought he was in Miami.
He was. But he moved out of Miami when they got Tua. I want to say they moved him. I guess we'll figure that out. He's on a milk carton somewhere. But still, even in that draft, Josh Rosen was one of the quarterbacks discussed. Look where he's at now.
Like I said, we gotta send him this is a personal flyer about him, because I don't know where he's at. So and you're right. You're correct. Last year was his first full year of starting.
Okay.
For Josh Daniel Jones. And this year is like, it's kind of the same. It's at 61 completion percentage, 1,666 yards, 7 touchdowns. So
what's the interceptions?
It doesn't show interceptions for some reason. Why does it make me do math? He's like,
there will be no math. My friend,
just give me the number.
I'm gonna go to my PFT. You know, I'm gonna love my Pro Football Talk here. 9 interceptions, so he's two down on the touchdown to interception ratio. Not as bad as Cam, but he's still 2 down. And the guy's a turnover machine. The problem is with the difference between him and Cam is he's got one of these in the games that he's played. Like, he's tends to be more frequent with his turnovers, something that you got to get nailed down. Daniel Jones is out of there. I'll tell you that right now. Like, barring the turnaround that Cam was talking about with Cam, that Cam's going to need that pretty much 8-0 run. Barring a situation like that for Daniel Jones, you've had 2 years, pedestrian ones. This is over. They're going to be looking to move off of you. Lord forbid they get the number one pick. Then it's definitely over. If they get the top 2 picks, it's definitely over. I think the only way it's not over for him is if they kind of somehow fall back in the draft, you know?
Yeah, and because they're like us. They've won one game. So, and again, their team is not any – they have no weapons as well, because all their guys are injured. This is the great part about our season. Now our schedule gets harder. So now we got to play Denver. Now we got to play the rest of our division. We got to play Tampa twice. We got to play New Orleans twice now. So it's going to be, our schedule gets ugly. So it's good, for us to, we can just keep hopefully losing the rest of the games.
Yeah, same. And I hate to be in the tank category. You know, sometimes it's better when we can debate topics. But this one, I'm going to be right on the same page with you. I'm on Team Tank. Let's go ahead and lose as many games as we possibly can. We better not win today. And I don't want to win any games from this point forward. I want to lose every single game going forward. That would take us to what? 2-14? How many games have we won? Have we won three games?
We won two.
Okay, good. Good. Because three is kind of depressing. So two games at this point. All right, we're on pace. But we need to lose a little bit more. Maybe get into those top two spots. Of those teams on that website, because you said it had us picking six, do they all need quarterbacks, the ones in front of us?
No, well, I mean, that's there's three that, and again, that because if we were just saying six, I'd be like the first three, I think, would take quarterbacks. The okay. Jets, the Giants, and Jacksonville. But after that, it's Houston and Dallas. And, you know, in Houston and Dallas don't need quarterbacks.
Ah, man. And Dallas, then it's, though, I think Dallas can take somebody.
Then it's us. They're not going to take a quarterback.
I think the only way Dallas doesn't, if Trevor Lawrence, Dallas had a chance to take Trevor Lawrence, I see no way in the world Jerry Jones does not take Trevor Lawrence. I don't see any universe where that doesn't happen.
Right, right. But I think, let me check Dallas' schedule. I think Dallas can still squeak out another
win. If Dallas keeps winning, of course you keep Dak, because one of the things you got to look at is what do you have versus what's out there. So I think that's the formula that Arizona went into when they took Kyler Murray. They looked at what they had, and they looked at what was out there, and they felt like what was out there was a little bit better. So I think Dallas is going to feel that burn if they get to the first two, and Fields and Lawrence are available, and you don't have Dak under contract.
Well, here's the thing. Dallas has two winnable games on the rest of their schedule. They've got a Washington, and they've got the Giants.
What is their record?
They are 2-6.
Okay,
same. So they can win those two games, be 4 and whatever, and then drop in the draft, and we leapfrog them.
Okay. So then we just got to deal with. It'll be interesting to see what the Jets do here, because the Jets with Sam Darnold is not as closed a case, in my opinion, as Daniel Jones and as Josh Rosen was. So as Josh Rosen was, and as Daniel Jones is. To me, I can see if those teams going in the direction they did is makes sense to me. The Jets,
yeah.
Sam Darnold, I don't really know. The jury's still out on him because his team's so abysmal. Like, the jury's still out on him. Like, I don't know if I would blame. Let me look at Sam Darnold's stats. Let me make sure I'm being fair, because if his stats look like Cam, then I got to say he's gone. I'll tell you that right now. If they look that bad, he's out of
there. 3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Nah.
He only has 1,045 yards passing, but I don't think he's
played. How many games has he played?
That's the thing. I don't think he's played. And according to this, it's like it's been 3 games. So I think he's missed some. Yeah, he's got a shoulder injury too.
Okay. He so 54, 52, 60. He's going to be gone at this rate. I'll tell you that. Just looking at these, he's gone. It's gone, bro. The numbers, the first game, or you know, October 1st versus the Broncos, 230 yards, nice, but it's 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a 54.8% abysmal on the completion percentage. Against the Bills on the 25th, you know, there's definitely a gap there. 52.2% completion, horrible. 120 yards, 2 interceptions, horrible. 31 rating. Then against the Chiefs last week, but it is the Chiefs, but yeah, 60%. He got that 60% up there. That completion percentage up a little bit. 133 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, which equates to pedestrian. Like when you look up pedestrian, it'll have these stats next to them. He's gonna be out of there. He'll be out of there. And that the problem is gonna be replacement. So one of the things that I see similar with this draft situation as we're talking about these quarterbacks is something that I saw with Peyton Manning when he left Indianapolis. So when Peyton Manning left Indianapolis, I remember telling my friends that there's going to be a lot of jobs in trouble. Now, teams that had quarterbacks that might have been able to stay on their team are going to be gone now because Peyton Manning is looking for a job. And teams are going to – they're looking at what they have versus what the replacement would be. And they're going to replace him with Peyton Manning. It doesn't matter how – good that team felt they loved that quarterback probably the day before Peyton Manning announced he was leaving his team. They probably loved you and they probably put all their marketing behind you. But when Peyton Manning announced he was leaving his team, they put all their power behind trying to court him, and then you were going to be gone. And I feel like that's going to be the same situation here if Trevor Lawrence comes up for any of these teams. They're going to look at what they have and what they could be replacing it with. And
yeah, I agree.
Trevor Lawrence looks like a damn good replacement right now. Now, he hasn't played any games. But I will tell you, with the Sam Darnold situation, he had, I think, a Rose Bowl game, and he played pretty good. I think he was at USC. Played pretty good. But Trevor Lawrence has played flawless at Clemson his entire career. Like, flawless. I haven't seen anything like this. It's been flawless.
Right, and look what the game. So he gets COVID, and the last, and then they're 1-1 in the games that he's out. They barely won the week before, and then they lost last night. So you can, you know, that's another testament. If he's out of the game, what happens? They lose.
The guy doesn't even like he's breaking a sweat out there sometimes.
Right. Oh, and real quick update: Josh Rosen is at Tampa Bay. He's a backup for Tom Brady.
Right now. Okay. Right. Well, so he's still in the sun getting that those nice Florida beaches. So shout out to that.
I mean, not bad.
It's not a bad existence to go from Miami to Tampa Bay. It's not horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens? So again, then he gets to go in that offense if Tom Brady has a little injury or whatever, that's coming for a game or two. It's like, oh, I get to throw to these guys. Okay. I think I can do this.
Right. It's a dream team core of receivers. Tom knew exactly what he was doing there. They have great core receivers. Antonio Brown's rich, getting richer over there. So that's a very different situation than the situation that we currently find ourselves in New England. But here's a hoping that Cam can turn it around. This is the Reg and ATL Sports Talk. Check us out, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. See you next time. I said see you next time, and I'm still going here. Wow.